Hello,
Hello?
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi.
Are you having technical difficulties?
My computer just sucks. That's all. It's
Ah, it
probably
sounds like a due for a Christmas gift.
must be time just flies for me now, and I think that this is probably old, and I'm just not realizing just how old it is. I can't
How
even
old
remember when
is
I bought it. I don't know. I don't remember when I bought it.
it?
I don't even know, like, if there's anywhere I could check to see where,
Yeah.
how to check on the computer how old it is. But
Yeah, I think mine's at least 10 years old, if not older.
yeah, I guess that mine must be. But it's my problem is I share a lot of the stuff with I share the monitor and keyboard and stuff with when I work. So I'm constantly having to unplug and plug things back in, so I can't just leave this computer on.
Yeah.
And I'd like to, because it just takes a crazy amount of time to boot up. But anyhow, I apologize. How are you?
No. You're fired.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like Bill Bulmer here.
Well, welcome to the last episode for Rob Krieger. And
Yeah.
Chris is fired too. He just is in a no-show.
He didn't show up, and I'm very tardy.
Yeah, it sounded like you guys got hit with some of that winds, huh?
Yeah, I can't. So it was expected to come through, and
Was it that
honestly, if you,
tornado thing that hit? Was it that part of that same storm?
I think so. But
Yeah.
the winds were expected to be like 60 or so miles per hour,
Yeah.
so not tornado or anything like that, but damaging winds. And honestly, if you would have asked me last night, I'd have been like, oh yeah, it was windy, definitely windy, but no big deal. It wasn't until this morning that Stacy started showing me pictures that she saw on the local news, like, and like two or three from were from our neighborhood. I'm like, oh my God, like trees, like big trees.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like right here, you wouldn't know it just from my house. We never lost power. The biggest thing that happened is, the freestanding basketball net just tipped over. So just put it to the side. That was it. That's all that happened here, as far as I could tell.
A freestanding desk, what do you mean?
No, the basketball net.
Oh, basketball net.
Yeah, we got the kids at one of those basketball nets that you fill the base, with or whatever. Yeah. So it tipped over, I don't know, about 9 o'clock last night. So I moved it over to the side,
Yeah.
on the lawn, and that was it. Like, I didn't know that anything else had happened, but apparently it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Not as
No,
bad as some people, though. I mean, they
a lot of bad
lost
talk
their homes and
of their lives.
buildings were destroyed and lives were destroyed, and
Oh my God,
that's
horrible.
crazy.
Yeah, very bad. So
And
how
over
are you
here, we've
doing?
been having mild winter, very mild.
Really?
We're supposed to
Yeah.
have snow on Friday. We haven't had our first snow yet. That's
Oh, see,
weird.
we got a little snow at the beginning of last week. Not much, like an
Yeah.
inch and a half, but that was the
Yeah, we were
first real
supposed to get
snowstorm.
some on Friday, but man, there was nothing. At least
Wow.
where we were up north, they got some, but yeah, it's been a pretty dry winter, which is okay with me.
Yeah. The
Hope it stays dry when we go back to Albuquerque.
yeah. Yesterday, before it really got bad, and the wind picked up in the afternoon, it got really bad in the evening. Prior to that, we broke a record high. The previous high in Buffalo was 61 on yesterday's date in 1899.
Yeah.
Yesterday got to 67. So it was
Yeah.
crazy warm. Crazy warm. It was so comfortable. But then yeah, the wind
Yeah,
came
our
through.
day was cold, but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, that's
If
good.
I can walk Harley, it's all good.
Yeah. So you tried to see Spider-Man yesterday? Is that what it
No,
was, or the
no,
day before?
we bought tickets and for this coming Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And we had bought like the secondary wave. In other words, the first wave sold out and then they opened up more theaters. And then we noticed it was starting to fill up the theater. And then we were like, oh crap, you know, we're going to New Mexico. Maybe we shouldn't go to a full-blown theater
Yeah.
right before the holidays. So we're putting it off. But we went to the movies yesterday, and it wasn't it was there wasn't that many people there, which is where we like it. You know, like where we like to go to the theater, and we saw the Gucci's, the House of Gucci, which I it was really good.
It was good, yeah.
Liked it quite a bit, yeah.
Oh, cool. It looked like it would be an interesting movie
Well,
for sure.
I remember when certain things happened in pop culture re involving them, but I remembered the murder. I remembered when they had their bootleg products out. I remembered a couple things. And a lot of it came from like MTV news and stuff like that. But
Yeah.
I saw a lot of news from like MTV because they would have like highlights or this happened, you know?
Yeah.
And they were in the world of fashion, so it was kind of in that realm.
But you enjoyed it, huh? It was a good story.
Yeah, it was really good.
Good. The kids got their second shot yesterday, so they're good to go for whatever, 6 months, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll see what they recommend for little kids in 6 months. I'm sure there'll be boosters in their future as well. You know
Yeah.
what the thing is, though, Mike? I've heard it from every single parent so far, and it's true for these two, fooling around, acting crazy today. None of these little kids are experiencing any of those side effects that we experienced after the second shot.
That's good. That's 'cause their
None.
immune systems are better.
I think so.
Well,
They're
they're
totally
older.
100% fine. Just,
Yeah.
you know, I mean, and that's what we heard from other people that just their kids just got their second one in the
I
past
don't know
couple
if the dosage is the same for kids, though. Do you?
It's
I
less.
think it's less. I think it's half.
Yeah, it definitely is less. Yeah. So,
So maybe it's they're bombarding us with a lot more, and you
yeah,
just
it
can't.
could be.
For me, it wasn't bad at all, though. It was pretty much like 6 hours. I was felt like shit, and
Yeah, you
but
got it.
I
You got it
wasn't
for a short
bad.
period. I was almost a full 12 hours and just really achy.
Yeah.
Basically, the whole day I was, you know, the whole time I was up.
Well, it just took me 24 hours to hit, and then for 6 hours I was on my ass where I didn't want to do anything, and then I slowly re started recouping after that,
Yeah,
got back to
exactly.
normal.
Well,
I gotta get
that's
my
good though.
shingle shot soon.
Oh, I've
That
never
one's
had
supposed
one
to
of
be a
those.
painful thing.
Why?
I don't know. It just,
So,
I don't know if it's the dosage of the needle they have to use or what, but it's a lot more of a painful arm shot.
when do you need to get that? I mean, what age frame? 'Cause I've never had one before. Am
I
I
think
supposed to get one
they
too?
recommend it in your 50s.
Oh, okay. So I'm
Yeah.
yeah, you're right. Here, I just looked it up. 50s and older. So really, I should
Yeah.
start thinking about that. I'll be
Well,
Mike.
I've known family members that's fucked up pretty bad, like shingles, like messed them up really bad. So I was like, I don't want to get that.
Yeah,
So,
I've had coworkers. One
and
just
I've
now.
had the chicken pox, and what it is it's the chicken pox lies dormant in your system forever, and then it awakens. I don't know how. I guess getting old, and then you get shingles.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like some pain in the ass side effects. It says for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, so the DCBS stuff, I still haven't gotten those books,
No,
the first batch. So
Mike, I don't know if we're ever gonna get anything that is behind schedule.
yeah, I
I
was
mean,
upset with the one that I really wanted was Moon Knight, like of the missing ones. And
Moonlight Five.
yeah, and I was able to get a copy, but it was like the variant to the variant. It was like a Native American month variant cover.
Yeah.
So I took it so I'd have the story, but
I'm thinking of
and then I
placing
was
an order on
missing
my
a
comic
ton I
shop
was
and
missing
buying stuff.
another set of Marvel books, but it looks like this coming shipment has 2 weeks of
Yes.
Marvel book,
Yes, I
so.
was going to tell you that. Some stuff is definitely coming. But, like, I never got Spider-Man 78, so I ended up
Yeah,
having to pick that
78
up.
Beyond. Yeah,
I don't have
BBY.
70, I still don't have 79, but 80's coming.
Yeah.
So, did you ever get Winter? Did you buy Winter Guard? Did you ever get Winter Guard number one? Because I got 2, 3, and 4 from DCBI. Number one never came. I found it at the LCS.
Let me check. I didn't pay attention if I did. Because I usually didn't have problems before, you know, so
No,
I
not
just
with Marvel,
assumed.
but since Penguin Random House, this is a mess.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Winter Guard. I don't have any marked.
None of the four?
Which is weird.
Yeah, I got 2, 3, and 4 from them. I
Oh,
never got
I'm
number one.
skipping. You know how sometimes it moves over? I have 2 and 3. Same thing.
Okay, yep.
Yep.
I can't imagine that number one is ever going to show up. It's 3 months old at this point. You know?
I have to get that. I guess from the shop if it has it. There's probably others that I need to worry about, I guess.
I know, and it's hard to keep track of that.
Yeah, 'cause I never had to like look at what comes out this week, do I get it? And
Right.
now it seems like almost with everything, like including Diamond, there's like all kinds of weird shit happening.
Yeah, I mean, they've had their own issues. Then Marvel's had their issues with their new distributor. Basically, DC's and Scout and Ahoy are the only ones okay.
Yeah, those are the ones that seem okay. But I've been looking at my Marvel books with the critical eye. Like I'm trying to like just go digital on most of the new stuff anyway.
You are, yeah.
Yeah. Like the new previews, the one that I am getting is Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick that up too.
I can't remember. Maybe there's one or two other. The other one I'm on the fence with is, well, I'm gonna get that X-Men one shot because it's a one shot. I forget what it's called, a Savage Avengers or something, or Secret of X-Men.
Yeah, Secret X-Men, yeah.
Yeah, that was a one shot, so I'm gonna get that. And I kind of like the characters that are in there, like Morrow and Strong Guy and some of the New Mutants.
I didn't notice it was a one shot. It's all of the members that didn't get voted in. It's all of those that were part of that poll.
Oh, really?
It's in, yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it more appealing, but
I know, it's interesting, isn't it? Like Cannonball,
yeah.
Sunspot, and then, like you said, the other ones.
And then the other one that I'm getting too is the new X-Statics book because I like that shit. That was the
Oh,
Peter
excellent.
Milligan, yeah,
Yeah.
excellence. But because I like the original stuff, you know, and it's the same creative team, so
Yeah.
I
I'm
shit.
getting everything for X-Men now.
But in terms of X-Men, like I stopped Marauders because even though I like it, I'm not the biggest Steve Orlando fan. So like I got it up until Jerry Duggan left.
Yeah.
The other books I am pretty much gonna, I don't know what they're doing with the X-Men. I think they're gonna relaunch everything.
What it sounds like.
Because
I feel the
Wolverine's
same
not
way
out
with
yet,
you.
X-Factor's not out now,
Nope.
X-Force is not out. You know, they have this Wolverine event which I decided to sit out.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Life and Death. Even though I like it, I could read that, you know, digitally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like looking at Marvel 'cause it's the easiest, plus the wait time is like it's n negligible for me.
What is their wait time? 3 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy short.
Yeah. So
That's
I.
I was considering maybe asking for Marvel Unlimited for
Christmas?
Christmas. Yeah, but
Oh, it's worth it,
maybe I'll
man. I
I
swear
might
I.
wait a couple more months for my birthday and see what I but I what I need to do if I'm going to do that is I need to then do what you're doing and really actually pull back on the physical stuff.
Yeah.
and then force myself to actually still read it.
The
Because
only
I
thing
put
that I'm
together.
noticing, yeah, the only thing that I'm noticing is I'm using the app quite a bit, but not for new stuff. So like I find myself like I went on that Deathlock journey, which is a lot of fun because I was able to follow it from Astonishing Tales to Marvel Spotlight to Marvel 2-in-1 to Marvel Team Up, you know, like every issue that came out all the way to Cap. And then when I hit Cap, I really liked it because it was Jam DeMatteis, and I haven't read the Deathlock portion of that story, even though I have it. So I just kept I kept reading, and I'm at the point where I've read all this stuff. Like there's pieces that are familiar to me, but just like the highlights. Like when I remember Cap getting old, I thought it was for a lot longer. Like I thought he was like an old man for ever, and it was only like 4 issues, you know, because no Nomad was injecting him with, or he was giving him drinks because, you know, Mother's what is her name?
Mother
Not Mother
Superior.
Superior was giving him. Had drugged him on that date they went on when Cap was off somewhere, and she's the Red Skull's daughter, and they were aging him, and then it came to the complex where Red Skull was using his daughter to fight against Baron Zemo's son, and he was trying to get like his inheritor, and he didn't want a woman, which pissed off Mother Superior, and then they had the Sisters of Sin. And then they really messed up like Arnie and Dave, which were like Cap's best friends. One was like a Vietnam vet, and Arnie was like a guy from his past that he knew.
Yeah,
And
that's right.
they effed them up. And then Bernie proposed to Cap, and he sort of wanted to reject her proposal because they were getting attacked at the same time. And she convinced him otherwise. And she got kidnapped by the Red Skull. So the Red Skull had Arnie. Dave was in a coma. Bernie was captured. He captured Falcon and Nomad. And
That whole area that you're reading is like that. Those were the first like Cap comics that I bought and then just kept buying like one after the other. And I mean, that's how I fell in love with the storytelling for Cap.
Yeah, that's where I was around 60 cents. I was collecting Cap, Wolverine, which was the limited series. You know, that was a 60 center. Hercules. What was I getting? Oh, Fantastic Four for sure. That was the John Byrne stuff.
Yeah, I only came in at the very tail end of that, and then I went backwards years later and read the whole thing.
Yeah. And Thor. So those were like the three. This was at before the comic shop. I was getting those off the spinner rack. So yeah, that's Cap, but Cap was kind of consistent. Like I was drawn to the covers and like the soap opera-ness of it, you know.
Big
It
time.
was like very addictive and still quite addictive. Like I think I finished the DeMatteis run. And then Mike Carlin came in for a two issue Captain Britain story, and now it's with Mark Grenwald. So it's like, yeah, you know, so he settles in for a long time. Yeah, so
He
yeah, it's been a real fun journey that I wasn't planning on revisiting, but Deathlock led me there, so.
That's really
And
cool.
the thing that I like about the app, though, is I don't have to dig anything out, and if it has like a little asterisk and it says "See Iron Man," I could go read that issue.
Yeah, you go and you see Iron Man.
Yeah, I could do it. It's you, ed, edit, the editor's notes things. You could actually follow the path. It's awesome.
Yeah, in 2 seconds, you're there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I know. It's just for me, I don't want to spend the extra money if I'm not going to be saving that on the DCBS order. So that's what I need to do. I need to
Well,
kind
that's
of
an
bump
easy
something up.
kill though, because it's like $6 a month, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like two comics.
Exactly. Should be easy to do.
Yeah, all you have to do is pick two that you're not crazy about, and you won't miss as much, and read them on the app, and you're already making your.
Yep.
That's your commitment right there. Yours is more easy because you have like. I had the same thing where I was trying to drop my DCBS order by $300, and I dropped it by 500, and
Good for you.
I was able to pay for the extra storage.
Yeah,
So it's like it's
yeah.
a monthly cost that, it
You
has to
know
come from somewhere.
what? I've been successful at kind of pulling back here or there on single issues for the past 2 months, but then what I found is that there's these collections that I like the prior to 2 months ago. Yeah, there's all the one collection here, one collection there. The past 2 months, it's like there's all these collections that I want to buy. So I
Yeah,
have to pick
I
and
am really
choose.
struggling with that. Like that this is the hardest part because last month was easy for me. Like there was a couple Omnibuy I wanted, but
Yeah, there
and
was a lot of Marvel. I mean,
there
there's
was
a
really
yeah, there's a lot
nothing
of Marvel last
DC.
time. Exactly.
This
This time
DC
there's DC.
well this DC has like three things, four things I want. It's got the Question Omnibus.
That's one I wanted to get, and I said, well, I'm going to have to put that aside and just read it digitally
Well,
because.
that's where the logic comes in. Like, I have all the issues and I have it on the app.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I really want to have this? I do because it's one of my favorites, but I'm still struggling with it. I haven't made a decision. There's the Legion of Superheroes Volume 2.
Which is a must-buy for me. I am ordering that, even though it's $75.
Yeah, there's that one that I wanted. There's the New Teen Titans Volume 13,
I
which
got
I have all of them
that. Me
up to
too.
this time, so it's really hard to break it off
Yeah, I am not breaking
there.
that off. I'm getting all of those.
And the New Gods, which was the hardcover omnibus, the Mark Evanier stuff with Paris Collins, and that stuff is like nowhere to be found. That's rare stuff.
Yeah.
You can get the Kirby stuff in many collections, but once this collection's out of print, you're never gonna see that shit again.
No.
So that one is the top of my choices because of what it is.
Yeah, I get it. That makes sense.
The it's more it's gonna be harder to fill than any of those others.
Yeah.
So like I but then. The Conan conundrum. They have two Conan omnibuses. And not just one. Like, if it was one, it would be easy. But there's the King Conan, and then there's the Conan. And I've been getting all of the Conans. And those
Right,
are
these
some.
are the old ones, right?
Yeah. And
Yeah.
they're the material that Marvel doesn't own.
Yes.
So there's no guarantee about an app. You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
It's not like Star Wars. They own
No, and
Star Wars.
if you don't get it, they may never really, and then it goes to back to another company.
Yeah.
Well, they might not never release a large collection
It's
again.
kind of like those situations like when you can get like Marvel's Godzilla and then you can never get it again,
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's one of those things, oh, I want to get those, and I don't have a hole in the Conans yet. So,
I mean, I know a lot of people would love like a full Micronauts collection. Well, that's never going to happen.
yeah, that one's got more complicated. ROM and Micronauts are very complicated because they're owned by Hasbro,
And you're right, especially
but
ROM.
they're
It's set right in the
co-owned.
Marvel Universe.
But there's characters that are Marvel, just like they. Had when they reprinted Transformers number 8 that had Spider-Man in it, they took him out.
Oh, did they? Yeah. I mean, they
So
had to.
it's like, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Two other ones, and I'm sure you've seen it if you've been looking at the previews. They did Valiant's doing the rest of that collection of the Shadow Man.
Yeah, they're doing the not the Abnett or Lanning, but the what is his name? Delano, Jamie Delano.
Yeah. So, I
That
mean,
well,
I don't have that.
collected editions. I'm still all in on Valiant. In other words, I own Valiant digitally. I own it on paper. I own it in trade, and I own it in hardcover. So that's like four forms. But I don't want to like break that streak. So, that's a must buy.
That one was a good one. Did you see that there's a PS art book for Blackhawk, a softie?
Yes. We were t Matter of fact, me and Bill were going through previews together last
Oh,
night,
okay. Yeah.
and I had talked about that because I love Blackhawk. I have a Blackhawk book I'm covering today, but like God, I love Blackhawk comics. Like I don't I it could actually surpass like Sergeant Rock for me because
Wow.
Sergeant Rock is very formulaic, whereas Blackhawk, it's at least during the Mark Evanier years, it was very much like you don't know what's gonna happen from issue to issue. And I love it. Like I love that. So yeah, I think I'm gonna get that PS art book. But it all come it comes down to I haven't placed my order yet and what the total's gonna be.
Yeah.
Because there's four epics and I haven't decided to cut any of that yet.
Right.
That's an impress but like even if you look at my epic collections, I have like there's gotta be over 200 now.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I have two bookcases
That is
full
amazing.
of just epic.
Those must look
Do
really great on the shelf, all like that entire thing.
you know how long that would take me to read?
Yeah.
If I started, I'd probably start and be dead
Take quite a while.
halfway through it, and that'd be just dedicating myself to the epics, so.
But just think of how much like Marvel history you have just in those collections alone, let
Yeah, and
alone all the other
the
stuff you have.
thing I like about the epics is a lot of it that I is the stuff that I really really love, like especially in the 60 cent range. Like that's when I was buying a lot of Marvel. So,
Oh, yeah, for sure.
and the Silver Age is great just from an historical perspective, but I'd rather be in the Bronze Age, personally.
Yeah, the storytelling got a little more sophisticated.
Yeah, I like the formula for that type for storytelling. It was like three-tier arc storytelling, and they were able to like balance different threads. That's what I like. They don't do that anymore very well.
No, not at all.
No, I don't understand why, because to me, that's what made you come back. Because
Yeah.
as one thread was ending, well, the other two were going on, and then the new one started. So it was like it
Exactly.
was had the soap opera formula that was addicting. Like you wanted to come back from month to month.
Yeah, I mean, there was always part of an ongoing story going on. Like that was, you had to keep following it to see where the next storyline was going to take you. Because, like you said, I mean, one thing might wrap up, but then you got two or three other things that are in the middle of the story. So, yeah,
Yeah.
I totally agree.
But
Yeah, that.
overall, I don't know what to do with this Penguin Random House. They really fucked up DCBS, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they
They
did.
like lost one whole week's worth of their books entirely. And then there's little pockets of other books that are missing.
Yeah.
So probably either due to damages, like we'll never know the truth, but either due to damages because of their shitty boxes, or they're due to never getting them. I think they're due to damages.
I do too.
I
I do too.
think I've seen their boxes, and they're effed up, and all they do now is they package the box within another box and then bubble wrap it around it. But the problem is they don't use two loader boxes like DCBS and Diamond. They use one loader and they barely fit. So imagine trying to put your hands in there and fill the box to the brim and not let a book slide out of place.
Right.
Once one comic slides out of place, others are going to slide out of place. And imagine if you're filling those boxes at rapid pace because you're working for Penguin Random House and they're like, get the shit out there. How easy it is for somebody loading those boxes to accidentally throw them in the box wrong. And then they can't really get them out because there's no room.
Right.
So it's an awful box.
My, I don't, this is what I don't understand. So they made this deal to start distributing Marvel Comics. Marvel Comics is the number one comic company. So I blame both sides because how are you not ready to actually distribute these in a manner that are going to be acceptable to sell? And if you're Marvel, how did you not already have Penguin Random House show you the boxes that they're going to use and all of that to ensure that you weren't going to have problems when you switched over?
Right,
I don't
right.
understand that. I don't understand. Like that
Yeah,
seems like a
bad
huge.
move all around.
Yeah.
My comic shop still gets damages, but he at least is getting his books.
Yeah.
So like
Is he
that one
still going through
batch.
Diamond for them, or is he going directly
No,
from
he's going through Penguin Random House.
the RLCS here? I asked them. They didn't want to open up yet another account, so they're getting their Marvel from secondhand from Diamond.
I don't blame them. It's an inconvenience. Like, I listen to Challenger's podcast. They're a store in Chicago. They have so many accounts that it's a lot of work. Like
Yeah.
it, and then you're getting shipments like every day instead of one day. You know what I
Right.
mean? It's like a nightmare. It probably increased their workload by like, I don't know, 6 hours a week. Times two people because of all the distributors now.
Yeah. And I mean, they're not making huge profit margins here, and now to know that it's not just like one day, like on a Tuesday, that you have to, be in all day sorting and filing and everything else. Now it's throughout the entire week. It's got to be very difficult for these shops.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, yes, the last time I was at the shop. Somebody came to fix his front door because he had like a gap. It would always be pried open. And now it's getting cold. So his heating bill's going up. So he told the building manager, you got to fix this. Well, they sent some guy down. And then he's like, well, we got to send a door guy down, but I shut it for you. But they couldn't open it and he couldn't shut it.
My God.
Couldn't set the alarm. It was like a nightmare.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh,
And there
I
was
gotta
some, I
go
was
ahead.
there, I don't know, about 5 o'clock, which was means it was dark. And man, there was just, he had like some weird characters coming into his shop. Well, one was a mom who was chasing her son, and the son just came running into the store, and he kept running away from her, so she was like chasing him like around the store, and that was ridiculous. And then I walk out there, and there's some guy that's like, he had to be drunk. Either he was drunk or he had Tourette's. Like he had like a syndrome where he was just shouting obscenities out. I think he was drunk. But right outside the store, so I'm like, "Holy shit, I can't leave."
Just gonna hang out here for a little while.
Yeah, just hang out here until I can make a run for it.
Exactly.
But
Oh my God, that's funny.
one thing I'd hate about owning a store is even when I'm in the store, like I would be like wanting to watch them all the time
Oh,
because
the customers?
yeah, because it he has so many browsers just come and browse, and it's hard to like see if they're like slipping some like a toy or something in their jacket or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like,
Oh, yeah, it's got to be. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not. I don't have to deal with that type of thing, whether it's.
yeah, I wouldn't want that part of the store. Like, I'm sure that, 60 to 70% of your customer base is pleasant to work with, but then there's that 30% that would suck.
Yeah. And then you get people even that like you think are fine, and then suddenly like you get shorted on an order or something like that, and you can't pull like something that's on their pull list.
And then they freak out. That's
They
us.
freak out. Yeah. No, I
But
mean, but anger,
I get
like
that, but they get blamed for something that's out of their control.
totally
Like,
out of their control.
they're the end point that always gets, oh, I'll take my business elsewhere.
Yeah, it's one thing to be like I mean, me or you, like we, worry that you're not going to get it and stuff like that, but you don't start screaming or yelling at the guy. And
Yeah.
there's the one that one shop that Stacy got really interested in, that Pulp 716, and they posted like a while back, there was a guy that like literally like he was shorted or whatever, he didn't get whatever he asked for. I mean, he was berating this employee, like just yelling and screaming
Yeah.
that, yeah, you're out, you're done, you're banned from the store. So
Yep.
it's like, you got to be kidding me. Like, how do you behave that way to just a clerk that's just working there part time?
I had to kick somebody off my softball team for that same reason.
Really?
Yeah, he was going after the ref, like physically. And I got into his face, and it was like literally a spit fest. We were just spitting, all yelling at each other. And I said, "Get the fuck out of here. You're not on the team anymore." 'Cause I ran the team, me and Barb. And he showed up the next week, and I said, "Nope, I refunded your money. Get the hell out of here. You're not part of the team."
Did he start
So I don't
screaming
I
again, or did he
it
just
says
turn around
we're
and leave?
out here to have fun. We're not here to be that competitive and be an asshole, you know?
Exactly. Some people,
So
they just,
yeah.
they don't know how to behave.
And I'm competitive as fuck. Like in terms of sports, I was
Yeah.
raised to be, but
Yeah.
I am respectful of the refs and, like whatever they do. I don't need people attacking them
Right.
physically.
Oh my
So
God. Right? They're doing this just out of
yeah.
fun too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for
Like,
something so stupid, like
yeah.
it's not worth it.
No. Wow. Yeah, there's just some people who don't know how to behave themselves.
Yeah, they weren't raised right.
No, very incredible.
They probably see their parents do it and they're like, "Oh, that's okay."
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's definitely very possible that that's what they experienced growing up, you know?
Yep.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, did you or Bill ever get any of the PS Art Softies yet?
I think Bill got one. I haven't got one yet.
Yeah, I mean, my
But
first one that I
I don't
ordered
think I ordered
was
one
Ghostly
yet.
Tales, but oh, you never ordered one. Okay.
No.
I ordered the Ghostly Tales first volume, and I think
It's
that was
not,
a while
but
ago. I think
you haven't gotten it yet.
No, so that was the April 2021. So yeah,
Yeah,
it's on
I think I'm gonna order the Black Hawk and see what happens with that. It's interesting though what it collects. Like, it's not starting where I would think it would start. So
Yeah, I saw that. But I didn't really look up to see where the beginning of
But it
Black Ops.
but it's cheaper to do that than to try to trace down those golden age,
Yeah, where does this one starting?
I
Do you
think like
remember?
7 or 9,
Yeah.
something to that effect. But it really started in like military police comics or something like that. Because I have the hardcover volume 1 of the archive of Black Hawk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have any Black Ops collections at all, so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's a I enjoy it quite a bit.
Yeah, it's cool.
But collected editions, man, there's I God, I hate Marvel. They just put out too much. Like,
They
I
really.
wish they would spread out the omnibus and save some of the paper for the next month because of the paper shortage. But they have no mercy, man. They
I know. No, not at
hit
all.
with like five omnibuses a month. And like it's almost guaranteed there's four epics. There's more than four because they have usually new printings of other editions I already have. So, all right, so what do we got this week? Oh, I forgot one other thing before we get started. Barb bought AMC Plus for $1.99, so it has Shudder on it, but I can't cast it.
Oh, why
So
not?
because
Doesn't work?
it's not a casting application. So I might have to try a Fire Stick, and if that doesn't work, I'd have to get a new TV if I want to watch it on the TV. But
Fire sticks
I
definitely
was just
have better.
I was just browsing, and there was like a lot of interesting horror on there for sure. Their app sucks though. Like I don't like its presentation. At least
Which one,
AMC
Shutter
Plus.
itself or
No,
AMC?
AMC Plus.
Okay, I haven't seen that.
AMC Plus has Shutter within it,
Oh,
but
okay. Yep.
it using the same front end like to display what it has, and it's like you can't really see everything, you know? So you kind of have to know what you're looking for.
The Shutter app itself, I mean, it's fine. Like I can, but what I find a lot, and I don't know if it's the Fire TV or if it's Shutter itself, but like it will freeze sometimes. Not when you're watching a movie, but when you're
How do you
navigating.
watch it, with the Fire Stick or on the TV?
I've got a Fire TV connected to the actual TV set. So
Oh,
yeah, I just
okay.
watch it that way.
Yeah, Barb bought a Fire TV, so we're gonna see. I might need to find a new HMI hub or just get a new TV. I just don't know what I'm gonna do with this one because it's still good. It's just not that big. I don't know what size this is, but it's probably 55 inch. I don't know, maybe it's less.
Well, that's pretty big. I think that's what ours is.
Yeah, but they have like 70, but I'm kind of limited to the architecture of the house. And there's like our house was built with a cubby for the TV, 'cause and that's back when TVs had they had depth to them. So
Yeah,
they
they
were
had depth and they were
They were
squares, not
huge, and
rectangles.
they weighed about, I don't know, 150 pounds, and they're hard to move. But we have that cubby in there, and we can cover it. But then it's got a base, and you got to be able to like put the base on a ledge, like either that or somehow mount it. And I don't know if I can go like 70, maybe 60.
I think that
But
our the one
my
the first
dad's TV that I helped him hook up, it was Fire enabled. Like it was meant to be a web stream TV.
Oh, really?
And that one was really nice because it was sort of like you don't need to use your phone at all. You just use the TV.
Yeah, I don't use my phone, but I again, I use the I've got the Fire TV, so I just use that all the time. I actually have that cube, the Fire TV cube thing, not the stick, but I
But I
mean,
was telling Barb, like, I don't even think I can add Shudder. Like, I just don't have any bandwidth, like, to watch any of it. Like, over the break, I might watch it on my iPad because they watch their soaps to get, you know, at her mom's house, and I'm bored. So I could. There's a movie I saw on Shudder that has a shark on it called The Great White or something like that, and I love shark movies, like. Underwater monster movies and shark movies I really like, and that one I queued up, so like I'll watch it over the holiday break. But other than that,
HBO
it's like
Max has some decent horror movies on there too. They've got
HBO
some
Max.
Hammer movies. They've
Well,
got a bunch of stuff.
the ones that Hulu's got all kinds of shit, but I don't use it as much. Hulu
Yeah,
and
me neither.
Paramount I use the less, but they have a lot, and I have them. Barb uses them quite a bit because she streams most of the real TV, like NBC, ABC, all that stuff off of Hulu. And then CBS, she does off of Paramount. So she uses it. I don't watch those too much. But mine are like Disney Plus, Netflix, and HBO Max. Those are the ones that I use extensively. And Disney Plus is probably the one I've used more than any of it because I've watched the entire Clone Wars and now I'm into Rebels. And that's a lot of hours of TV. That's like a lot of seasons. And I've watched all the Marvel stuff with the exception of Hawkeye. I haven't gotten to that one yet, but
We're
I've
good.
watched all, I haven't watched that yet. But yeah, and then I have my Money Heist on Netflix. God, I love that show. God, it's so good. Like me and Bill adore that. I've never seen, you talk about the three or four thread plots like that make you addictive to a show. That does the formula of the Bronze Age comics. It
I've
is
heard so
so
many good
good.
things about that series, but I
Oh
still have
my
not watched
God,
any
it's
of it.
good. And we watch it differently. I watch it with the dub and he watches it without the dub. But yeah, I
What
adore
language
that.
is it in?
It's from Spain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Spanish.
So
But
he's got the subtitles going on, is
most
that
of
what
the
he?
actors I think are multilingual. It's incredible. It's the only thing that I've ever think show. I hate like shows that have so many flashbacks, but this show does it so effective. Like when it switches, it's so awesome because it like you could see, oh, here's how I got here. You know, like it's pretty incredible. The other one is Who Killed Sarah? That one's from Mexico, and that one's really good too. I got Bill into both of those,
Never heard
and
of that one.
yeah, they're both very addictive because of the complexities of them. With Who Killed Sarah, when you start watching it, you're like, God, this show is good, but it has so many holes in it. Like, they you could fill these holes with, you'd have to bring multiple cement mixers in here. But as the show goes on, they smartly fill those holes just a little bit, and then they fill a little more, and then it just it's pretty incredible because what starts off as obvious is not, you know what I mean? And you're like, well, that how do they explain that? Well, they might explain it like five-ish episodes from now. But it's pretty innovative.
That's interesting.
But I like quality-wise, Netflix is pretty high up there with their shows. And Money Heist is like an international, like if you go onto the app right now and you see what number one is, it's Money Heist. Because it's people are addicted to it. Like there's even a documentary of how like they're international superstars, and this was a show that was canceled in Spain after the first season, and then Netflix started airing it and it became an international, like worldwide sensation. Like it became like Star Wars to the international community. Like at soccer games, they had like images of the characters, you know, where they'd like flip the cards and you could see different characters and stuff. It like became like a phenomenon, and it's pretty cool. The plots are just. You and Stacy would love it if you have the patience of dubbed or, you know, like watching the subtitles.
We
But
we like sub I mean, 'cause honestly, it's like
no, that's a show that both of you would really
I
love,
have
but
trouble
you have to
hearing
watch.
stuff anyhow.
Oh, I use closed caption for everything. Matter of fact, we go to the movies and it's like, God, I wish I could turn on closed caption.
If it's loud enough, it's fine. But like at home, I don't want to turn it up too loud when the kids are sleeping and stuff like
Yeah, I
that.
have a.
So,
Yeah. You guys would really like it.
I
You
bet.
watch like three episodes and you'd probably be like, oh, I'm addicted now.
I'll put it on
But.
our list.
And I'm not like a heist guy. Like, I'm not. I
Well, like
like
Ocean's 8, like or Ocean's 11, I liked that.
well, I like heist movies, but it's not like one of the genres that I'm like, I gotta watch it. But this one is just the craftiest heist I've ever seen. And like, even though the characters are bad guys, they're like beloved. Like, you love all of them. It's crazy. You're actually rooting for them the whole time.
Yeah.
But they are at least a handful of them are really bad people. So
It's funny how if you see enough of somebody's point of view, even if you know what they're doing is not good, that you're, if it's done well, you can still empathize with them.
yeah.
Just like, you know, whether like Breaking Bad and stuff like that. Like by the end, he's not a good person.
Oh no, they're both bad, but
Yeah.
you're rooting. One's a drug addict, and one guy is the mastermind of the drugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That has a
And
fam that has a family.
yeah, that has a family, and at some point, like you understand why he did why he started doing what he needed, you know, what he was doing. But then at some point, he doesn't need to do this anymore, and he
Yeah, he
continues
cleared
to.
his cancer. He
Yep.
could have got out. At some points he couldn't have, but at a lot of points he could have gotten out and he
Yeah.
didn't.
Eventually, he could have
No,
stopped, but he
even
didn't
when
want
the
to.
chicken guy was out of the picture.
Yeah. Now he ended up liking that power.
Yeah. Well, we better get started on our books, man.
I know we're talking about
Chris is not here,
everything
and see
but
what happens.
Oh, see, this is why we needed
38.
Chris to join us.
She already ate. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Okay, yeah. So if you want, I can go first. The first one I'm going to cover is actually it's a movie that I'm going to cover. I watched it last night. Rabid from 1977. Have you ever seen this one? It's
I do not
pretty
think
good.
so.
It is written and directed by David Cronenberg.
I've heard that name before.
Yeah. He's done he did The Fly with Jeff Goldblum. That's a later one that he's done. He did a lot of 70s ones, but of course that one's in the 80s. And it stars Marilyn Chambers.
Oh wow. Hey, Deep Throat. No, is that Marilyn Chambers?
That I don't know.
I don't know. That this must be this is it it's Rabid?
Rabid, Rabid,
Yeah.
like rabies. She was in Beyond or Behind or Beyond the Green Door or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen
Yeah.
Marilyn Chambers movies. Not to say I'm a porn addict, but she was one of the first porn stars I ever saw in high
Well,
school.
she's a classic, and she actually transitioned over into some actual like mainstream
Yeah,
movies like this one.
I did not. I knew some other actresses did. I didn't know Marilyn Chambers moved over. I'm
Yeah.
not aware of that.
So basically what happens in this one is she plays a character by the name of June, and her boyfriend's name is Hart, Hart. And very beginning of the movie, they're like leaving a bar or whatever, and jumping on their motorcycle, and they're driving down the road. And then there's this family in this big huge van. And they're arguing that he thinks that, you know, it's whatever, wherever they're going is still up ahead. And mom and the kid are arguing that they passed it. So finally he relents and he pulls to do a U-ey to turn around. And the car, the van, the big van stalls. So, of course, I'm sure you can see where this is going. And the motorcycle comes around the turn and Hart can't stop in time. Kind of crashes into the side of the van, goes flying off into the field off to the side. He goes flying off of the bike, lands. She gets pinned underneath the bike, and it starts on fire. They're right near, they're about a mile away from a plastic surgery clinic. a real fancy clinic. So they get this report that there's, you know, they just saw one of the patients actually was, it's like almost like one of those like resort type clinics where you just hang out and like, you know, while you're healing and, you know, you have, they have all these amenities and stuff. And so one of the patients there was looking out and saw this accident. So she notifies the people that work at the clinic and they send out an ambulance since they're right there. Hart is just, you know, he's got a couple of bones in the concussion, but Rose is very badly burned and scarred on her, you know, from her entire torso. In addition, like she's lost a lot of blood. She's not going to make it if they send her to a regular general hospital. So they have no choice but to do surgery right there at the plastic surgery clinic. And the head doctor there is, excuse me, even though he's plastic surgery, he's a surgeon. So they decide to do a new controversial skin graft. They treat it so it becomes kind of like neutral skin. And what that means is that, you know, they take the skin from the leg and then put it where it's needed, and it kind of over time becomes that type of skin. So, you know, if you had a facial problem and they took that leg skin and put it on your face over the course of months, it would actually become facial skin. And like, you know, you start growing, you know, you could grow a beard from there and stuff like that. But so anyhow, this is their idea. So they go ahead and do that. Seems pretty successful. They're happy with the results. And she's still in a coma for a while, for a couple months. So Hart keeps checking in and stuff like that. And suddenly, one night she just wakes up and starts, you know, lifts herself up and just starts screaming. One of the other patients hears this. He's the only one kind of around in that area at the time. And he goes in to see what's going on and tries to start consoling her. And she doesn't really know where she is or what's happened. And she starts acting very strangely, almost like sexually towards this guy. And they embrace, and he's feeling, and he says so. He's like, you know, I feel like this is a little awkward. This is a little uncomfortable. And so she embraces him, and all this, you can't see what's happening, but he's like, oh, I think I've cut myself on something sharp. And he starts screaming, and you can see blood like from, you know, kind of from his torso, like actually like just soaking him. And you're not quite sure what's happening or where she's seems to be injuring him, because, you know, like she's definitely not biting him or anything like that. But he isn't dead. He basically afterwards just like kind of wanders back to his room, doesn't remember anything that's happened. She lies back down and seems like she goes back into her coma. Unbeknownst to everyone working there, she does regain consciousness a few more times and actually leaves the premises a couple times and does the same type of thing. And what you find out is that of all places on her body, like in her one of her armpits is this little weird looking hole that a stinger like comes out and injects itself into a person's body and starts sucking the blood out. At the same time that happens, you know, people kind of lose their memory from that time frame, what had happened to them. But then over time, they start not feeling well. So this other patient, he starts feeling gaunt. Doesn't look like he's doing well. Finally, he's like, I'm going to leave the clinic. And he gets in a taxi cab and goes. And halfway on his ride, he starts like his eyes get really red. He starts foaming at the mouth, and he actually grabs and starts attacking the cabbie. Trying to bite the cabbie. And you know, they get in a crash and they both die. So it's still not quite clear what's going on because it looked like a car crash. Finally, you know, and then another woman comes to the clinic. June confronts her and kills her. this time actually just sucks her blood out and throws her into like this huge freezer. So she ends up dying. But you know, she's this is basically what's happening. She keeps getting out. She's patrolling like, you know, the countryside. She goes into a barn at one point. She starts trying to feed off of a cow, and after about a minute, she starts throwing up. So it seems like it's only human blood that she can that can sustain her. And the drunk farmer notices somebody in his barn, and he comes out, and of course he sees this young woman, and you know, he has impure intentions, and starts fooling around, you know, trying to grab her, and she actually leans into that, and so he's like, "Oh, you really like me," and sure enough, he, you know, she embraces him and you know, takes and sucks his blood, and then like the next day, you know, he's ordering, he goes to the diner to order some barbecue chicken, and while his is being cooked, you know, they give an order to somebody else that's been waiting there. He grabs it and starts eating. They start getting in a fight. He starts biting them. And so now it's like all these people are becoming rabid, you know? And it's shortly after that, then they end up going into comas themselves. And then eventually they die off. But nobody's really understanding that, that Rose is really the actual source of all this. Finally, the head doctor there realizes that that she's awake, and you know, gets her to admit that, you know, she's been awake for a few days and stuff like that, and that she can only drink blood. And he's like, this is absolutely crazy. She ends up infecting him as well. She sneaks out of the clinic to go live with her best friend, and so for a while she's, this is taking place in Canada, by the way, in Montreal, and she ends up staying with her friend Mindy, and she doesn't want to hurt Mindy. She, you know, she's now at this point, she knows what's going on with herself, and so she'll go out at night, you know, pick up somebody and take care of them, and then come back, and until one time, finally, her friend Mindy is like just suspicious as to, you know, why, because she's in the bathroom like just in pain and stuff, and finally, you know, Mindy's like, you know, insisting to see her, and she's like, "No, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you." But then she ends up, you know, sucking her blood as well, and which, you know, turns Mindy into one of these rabid people. And you know, she has been, now she's talking to Hart on the phone a couple times, for you know, and you know, he's like, "Well, you know, what's going on? I don't understand." And you know, why didn't you let me know that you're up and stuff? I want to come see you. And of course she refuses. She doesn't want to infect him. So you know, this goes on for a little while, but finally, you know, there becomes a lot of people because people are biting other people, and you know, the city itself is becoming under quarantine, and like everyone's got to stay inside, stuff like that, because there's actually, they think it's a new strain of rabies, and seems to be going all over the city of Montreal, and people are like just getting killed all over the place. And you know, at one point, the medical the person in charge in the city here for health, you know, it ends up advising shoot to kill policies to even prevent future infections. Like these people are going to die one way or the other. Once you're infected, you're going to die. You know, it's only a matter of time. But in the meantime, you could be infecting other people. So there's a shoot to kill. They do end up getting a vaccine. And this is very interesting to, it was kind of interesting to watch, you know, from our point of view, what we're living with now, because they find a vaccine. So as long as you haven't gotten the disease, the vaccine will prevent you from getting infected. But those that are already infected are it's too much. So people go and get their shot, and they get a little card saying that they've been immunized. And I mean, they're talking about it in the movie as if obviously, Mike, every single person that can has gotten immunized, right? I mean, nobody would not get the vaccine if it was available to them. So, just like in real life.
Yeah. You saw this on HBO Max or?
Yeah, it's on HBO Max, yeah.
So I was surprised to see it was there.
Yeah, so finally Hart kind of he ends up finding Rose, seeing her actually feeding on somebody, and finally is like, listen, you got to face reality. You're actually responsible for this epidemic. You don't die from this. But you're the carrier. You're the carrier of this disease, and we've got to do something. And towards the end, he chases her back to her and Mindy's apartment, but he's knocked out, and she basically what she does is she brings a brand new infected person, man, into the apartment and locks herself in, and then calls Hart about her plan. She wants to actually see if Hart is right or not, and see if the man turns infected or not. The like she feeds on him, basically, is what I'm saying, is, and locks the two of them in the apartment together to see if he becomes infected, because she doesn't believe that she could possibly be the cause of all this. And Hart's telling her, no, you got to leave the apartment. You got to leave the apartment. And then you see the infected guy. He awakens and attacks Rose. And then the next morning, her dead body is found by soldiers that are patrolling the city. And they go ahead. They pick her up, take her out of the apartment, dump her into a garbage truck, and that's the end of the movie. It was very, very interesting. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, sounds like something I want to watch.
It was cool.
It's also cool because it has Marilyn Chambers, so.
Yeah, it was, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was looking at she died at age 56
Yeah,
of
about 10 years
natural
ago or something.
causes of aneurysm. That's pretty
Yeah,
young.
I looked it up because I remembered her dying, in the
That's young,
recent past.
56? Wow.
Yeah, but she had, I mean, I think in her past, in the 80s and stuff, she had a lot of drug and alcohol problems, and so after she
Yeah,
cleaned
a lot
herself
of
up,
people in the porn industry that did
okay.
that.
Yeah, and that could have contributed to her early death, just not taking care of her
Yeah.
body.
I also
So,
saw she was in a movie called Angel of Heat.
oh,
And I
I'm
was
not
like,
familiar with that
that's on Prime Video. A mad
one. Really?
scientist uses an army of androids and a device that can disintegrate metal to try to steal microchips containing a top secret information. The government dispatches a beautiful female agent to stop them.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's got 4 stars, but
I would watch that one.
it seems very campy.
Yeah,
So
that's great.
the other thing I learned in this one is it's all the one you just watched is also streaming on Shout TV, and Shout
Oh,
TV is
okay.
free, so people can watch Rabbit
Oh,
if they
yeah,
want to
that's
watch
good
it.
then. Yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's David Cronenberg had some interesting movies. I'd seen another one. I don't remember what it was called now. It was like this weird movie. It was an apartment building, and I can't remember what was going on. It was almost like another zombie type situation, but not zombies. Another type of infection going through an entire apartment complex. But that one was pretty good too. I can't recall the name off the top of my head, but I watched that a few years ago. But David Cronenberg, he's pretty interesting. I have to watch Jeff Goldblum's The Fly again sometime. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, and that led me to one thing I like about IMDb is sometimes it tells you where you can find these things.
Yes,
And
yeah, often,
yeah,
yeah.
it's like I looked up a show I wanted to watch, a movie that was cheesy back in the day called Street Trash. And that's available on AMC Plus. So yeah, what the hell?
Nice.
Yeah, that falls in like I thought it was by Lloyd Kaufman who did like the Toxic Avenger movies, but I was at a con one year and I asked him, "Do you have Street Trash?" And he goes, "That's not one of ours." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry." Cuz I always was fond of that video rental. Now I see it's on AMC Plus.
That's cool.
Yeah, you just gotta know what to look for and what to find, I
Yeah,
guess, you know.
for sure.
So my pick is Black Hawk number 264, 60 cents. Let's see what the year is. It's from
What number was it?
19 ni
264?
yeah, from 1983. And this happens with the death of right at the death right after the death of Domino. And you're like, "Oh, Domino's a Marvel character," but no, Domino was in Black Hawk Comics. She was this beautiful Nazi woman assassin that was sent off by Hitler to go assassinate Black Hawk. And she always had this like love-hate relationship with Black Hawk, where she could have killed him on multiple times, but she chose not to. And she has this white stripe on her hair. A matter of fact, I have a commission of Domino, this version of Domino, by Andrew Peepoy. And this takes place after she was killed, and Black Hawk's kind of like going to up a mountain, kind of like not a Parbat, but it's not a Parbat. He's chasing a killer, the guy who killed her, and he ends up in like a not a Parbat situation where there's this sensei guy up there, and he doesn't seem to age, and he doesn't like warmongers, so he uses like mysticism to. Black Hawk pulls his gun and he dismantles his gun. It's like the whole gun just falls apart and he falls backwards and he says, "You can't use weapons here." And they were healing a Nazi criminal that actually did the killing. His name was Der Mörder, and Black Hawk was hunting him down because he wanted revenge. And he hunted him down to this place. Well, he had all his weapons dismantled as well, but he has one in his boot that only has one bullet, and he's saving it for Black Hawk as he tries to track him down. And this guy talks about war throughout the centuries. This guy's been alive for many, many, many years. Like he's thousands of years old, and he's been through a lot of wars. And just like not a Parbat, there's like a weird mysticism where you might not age. He doesn't age there. And he even invites Black Hawk at one point to stay there and just stop fighting the war, but he wants to take back this guy. Instead of kill him, he wants to take him back for justice. I would kill him, but he wants to take him back for justice. And they get in a fist fight, and every time this ancient guy expresses fear, he gets stressed out and he ages a little bit. But what's happening on the Black Hawk front in terms of the pilots, Chop Chop is very upset because of Japan is attacking China, his homeland, and he's worried about it, and he doesn't think any of the Black Hawk guys are gonna go help him. So he sets off on his own mission while the rest of the Black Hawk guys are going after the scientist that created the war wheel, that big wheel that has all that stuff. And they get there, and all their planes are attacked by like bats with these mechanical harnesses on them that can set off bombs, and so the Blackhawks have to turn around because their ships are getting damaged in midair. And Blackhawk has this fist fight with De Mortar, and he says, "I want to take you back." And so this ancient guy says, "Well, you're going to step in this room and you're going to touch this red crystal, and if you're evil, it will detect if you're evil. And if you're not, you can go back down." And he has both the Nazi and Blackhawk touch it. Well, Blackhawk goes in, he touches it, comes out, and nothing happened to him. Well, the other guy goes in and he's like, "I'm not going to touch the crystal. I'm a murderer. So I don't want to touch the crystal because I don't." And he comes out and he said, "I touched it. Look, nothing happened." And the ancient one knows immediately that he didn't touch it because he said, "That crystal really is a paint thing, so I can tell if you really touched it or not." So Blackhawk's palm was all red and his wasn't. So Blackhawk decides to take him down the mountain, and we don't know what happens. It's continued in the next issue. And this was the time that Sergeant Rock toys were being published too, because there's that ad from Remco for Sergeant Rock
All right,
toys.
yep.
There also is an ad in here, and I remember sending away for this, and I wasn't a guy to like send away for stuff, but this was a free Atari video game,
Oh.
and it was Kool-Aid Man, and they were off that
I did not get it, but I remember that.
they offered this, like, you send in these proof of purchase points, and my family was big into Kool-Aid at the time. And you would send away, and you'd get a M Network cartridge of Kool-Aid Man. And me and my brother played Kool-Aid Man. It was a cheesy game. It didn't have a lot on it, but you could get it for free with this ad. For the
That's
you, you
awesome.
would you would basically check off: do I want it for the Intellivision, or do you want it for the Atari 2600? And Intellivision was creating games still for the Atari called M Network. Because
Yes, I
they
remember
had
that.
this, they even had a commercial. M Network is the cartridge for the video blues. I remember it. It's one of those things that just stays in my brain. But at the time, Intellivision kind of had better graphics than 2600,
Yeah.
and better sports related stuff. But their controllers were pretty messed up. That it had like a keypad and like this. A gold disc on the bottom of it that you would use as a joystick of your finger. But my uncle
And
had
then you'd have inserts that you'd put in for each game that slid onto that
onto the
keypad. Remember
keyboard.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have an Intellivision, but my uncle did. And
My neighbors across the street, the kid was the same age as me. Yeah, he had Intellivision. We had Atari.
yeah, my uncle had a television, so I'd go over and play him football and basketball.
Yep.
And I had the Atari, so Intellivision was more expensive, but I did buy some M Network games, so that was pretty interesting. TSR had Star Frontiers, so I don't know any
Really?
bad about that, but
Star Frontier?
yeah.
Never even heard of it. I know what Star. It's the science sci-fi Dungeons and
Dungeons
Dragons.
and Dragons, yeah.
Yeah, I never knew that it had anything like that. That's really interesting.
Had some ads for Comic Cons in here in
Oh.
Boston, featuring Dick Giordano, Marshall Rogers, Len Wein, Walter Koenig of Star Trek. And then the Albany one had Bernie Wrightson and Jeff Jones and James Doohan. So I guess they were mixing pop culture in there with the Star Trek.
Yeah.
The backup features the Chop Chop Adventure. Well, the first story, I always like to credit who did it. It's Mark Evanier, who's awesome, probably my favorite Blackhawk writer. Yes, over Howard Chaykin. I just love his plots, Mark Evanier. And I just finished Gru Meets Tarzan. Oh
Me too,
my
Mike.
God, I loved it so much.
I just love any time that Sergio continues
Oh
to put
my
something out.
God,
He's
it's
just,
just
he's
I like
awesome.
feel like. And I went, me and Bill went to a convention where they were in a panel together. It was Stan Sakai, Sergio Aragonés, and Mark Evanier. And there
Mark
was,
Evanier likes to host the panels.
yeah, he does like to host the panels, and he was hosting this one. A matter of fact, I went to three panels where Mark Evanier was the host. So like, I got that joke, like I understood it. He was the moderator
Oh my
for a
God,
Jack
that's
Kirby
funny.
panel and another one. Absolutely adored it because the Jack Kirby one, he was one of Jack Kirby's assistants. So
Yeah.
he like knew a lot of like the inside stories, and he knew Roz, his wife, and it's just incredible like the stories you can tell. And all the he had Mike Ro Royer on there, who was an inker. It was incredible panel. But the banter between Stan Sakai, Sergio, and Mark Evanier is just incredible. The friendship that they share. Stan Sakai's in the book too. A matter of fact, there's one scene in there where Stan Sakai is calling Mad Magazine, and he goes, "Sergio's not around. He might never ever be back. Do you need a new artist on Spy versus Spy?" And that's a joke because he never did Spy versus Spy. But that's an ongoing joke throughout the whole comic. But God, I can't tell you how. I love Tarzan. So the way they incorporated Gru coming to Tarzan's, help,
Yeah.
and all the shit that that guy eats, it's just incredibly funny.
What was it? Fetid pelts in dung
Pelts
water or
in
something
dung
like
water, yeah.
that.
He was eating like all kinds of crap, and it's just I thought it was hilarious. And the fact that Sergio was left on like that animal safari by Mark, he just left him there because he couldn't find him. And at one point he's all naked, and then he finds like this garment, and they think he's like the Tarzan of the and then they all go rescue him. Like there's a bunch of like cosplayers and stuff. They're like, "The creator of Spy versus Spy is it?" Yeah, it's like, but anyway, Mark Evanier wrote this. It was illustrated by Dan Spiegel, and the second story is Mark Evanier also wrote it, but it's illustrated by Will Migniot. I can't remember. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but if somebody told me this guy was around at this time drawing, and I just don't know how to pronounce it. It's MEUGGNIOT.
Oh boy. Yeah,
And
no,
Dennis
I got no
Jensen.
idea.
I know he's drawn a lot of books around this time. I've heard it. I think it's a French last
Seems
name.
like it, yeah.
And I should know French, right, Barb?
You should.
I should, but I don't.
Oui.
This one is Chop Chop, and he's trying to find out who the arms dealer is that's supplying weapons to the Japanese to defeat China. And he goes undercover and finds he needs to meet this one person in a hotel room. It's named Baker. He doesn't know what it is, so he like kicks down the door. He's like, "I gotta find this guy." And he kicks down the door and finds a naked woman. Like she's totally undressed, coming out of her bathtub, I think. And she's the supplier, so she's a gun run, a gun runner. And she calls in some guys to take Chop Chop out, and she's making the deal with the Japanese, and the Japanese say, "Oh, we're not going to pay you anything. Let's take the weapons." And they try to kill her, and then Chop Chop, they have this huge robot that they're building, and Chop Chop almost gets crushed by the robot, and he's like, "I can't let this robot get to China. He'll destroy everything." So he just starts tossing rocks at the giant robot, which are doing nothing. But he gets to the box that contains the grenades and weapons that they're giving to the Japanese, and he gets two grenades and makes a bola out of it, you know, like those Australian weapons. So it's got two grenades. He pulls the pins and he makes a bola whip out of it, and then he throws it at the head of the robot, and it gets tangled around the head of the robot, and then ba-boom! And then he saves the woman because she had this big piece of wood on top of her, and he takes it off of her, and he says, "Well, see, you tried to make a deal with somebody who was going to betray you. I told you not to." And then she says, "What I understand is I've got a U.S. import company to service. Next time, I just have to make sure I set the goods in advance. I get the goods in advance." So she didn't learn a lesson from all this. She's going back to selling weapons to whoever wants the weapons. But it was an incredible story. Both of these stories were like top notch. This was like a 5 out of 5. And then I read the letters pages, and that was just enlightening from a political stand. Like we always say, like, you know, things never change. That you don't learn anything, and you're complaining about the same things now that we do now. Back then, this was 1983. And just to get a sample of what's happening here, the first guy likes what's happening. He said Black Hawk 258 is a very powerful issue. The explosive black and white first page really set off the mood of the story. Andre's condoning of the atomic bomb was quite ironic, considering the nature of the nurse's death. Black Hawk's words, "I think Andre has just started to take the war seriously," were a fine almost ending. But the last page was the shocker. It indeed showed in the atomic war there are no winners. And he says, "More, please." Okay, now listen to the next letter. "As an avid fan of Black Hawk, I feel compelled to comment on your anti-nuclear issue in 258. Really, how blatant and heavy-handed can you be? Does this sound familiar? Even with masks, you switch the atomic weapons with masks, and you'll get it. The pictures of the little girl at the beginning and end of the story serve no purpose other than to express your politics. Being a relatively sane person, I do not particularly look forward to a nuclear war either, but I have had enough of this anti-nuclear hysteria, and I certainly do not want it in my Black Hawk comic. I buy comics to be entertained, not to be preached at." So
My God.
the thing that you get from this is we see that now, like just on Twitter, you know what I mean? We just
Yeah,
see it. See,
nothing changes.
nothing changes. So
Just topic.
there's two messages on the other side of the spectrum, and then this next letter I'm gonna try to read really fast, but I found it really potent, because of where this guy worked and what was going on with his life and how this comic changed his life. But he says, "Dear Mark, please don't print my name if you print this. I hope you do not print it. I hope you print it though, because I learned something from Black Hawk 259. That's the next issue, not the nuclear one. I want you to know about it, and I want others to know about it. I buy 6 or 7 comic books a week, which is all I can afford, especially with prices going up. I work at Arby's roast beef sandwich stand, and I have worked here for 3 years now. People are always asking me, what are you going to do with your life? And I always get annoyed at them asking that. I guess I get annoyed because I don't know what to say. Ever since I got out of high school, I haven't known what to do with my life. I just found this really like an emotional letter because a lot of people go through the crossroads. You know, you graduate. What do I do? He doesn't, you know, he's constantly being pressured, probably by his parents and family. Like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? The other thing people are always saying is, I spend too much time reading comic books. My answer to that was always that I enjoyed comic books and that they were my escape for me. My favorites currently are Firestorm, All-Star Squadron, Teen Titans, Swamp Thing, Night Force, and a few others that aren't published by DC. Great titles, by the way. Black Hawk is also one of my favorites, and your 259 makes it the top of the list for me. It really has changed my life. I know that sounds silly, but I feel something while reading it that I never felt in a comic book before. I felt like you knew me and you'd written it about me. You see, I have certain people in my life that I admire a lot and always knew I could never be like them. I had a best friend in high school who was smarter than I was, better looking than I was. He got all the girls and I didn't. I knew I could never be like him, so why try? I guess that's why I've been working at Arby's for 3 years now. As I read the story of Winston Shirk, I thought he was a funny character, but a little stereotyped. Then I got to the part with Stanislaus and Blackhawk, and if you've been reading Blackhawk, Stanislaus was almost becoming the leader of Blackhawk because of what was going on with Blackhawk at this time. And I understood what you were doing. The first part with Winslow was to show us the problem in a broad way. Then the part with Stanislaus showed us the problem in a real human terms. As I understand it, Stanislaus had let his envy of Blackhawk become real. He believed he could never become like Blackhawk, so he held him back. The problem was that Blackhawk was building up to his own ego at Stan's expense. When Blackhawk told Stan that I'm just scared and infallible as you are, I just don't show it as much. I almost cried. I think my best friend was building up his ego at the expense of mine, and if he had said it to me in high school with what Blackhawk said to Stan, I think my whole life would have been different. I have read a lot of comic books, but I never read one that spoke to me so directly. I don't feel so different from my best friend anymore. If Wilson Shirk can change his life so that he is somebody, I can too. Thank you for a comic book that was more than a comic book. Isn't that a cool letter? I just.
It's amazing that like you're a writer and an artist, and you don't think you're really, I mean, you think you're entertaining people, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. And then to get something that you actually are affecting people's lives, you just don't expect that, and that's just amazing.
Yeah, it's a. I thought that letter was amazing.
I agree.
Yeah, it was very. This comic entertained the hell out of me. It was my favorite read next to the Tarzan and Gru this week. For totally different reasons, but. They both were Mark Evanier books, which is kind of cool.
It is. It's really cool, and I mean, we haven't talked about it, but George Perez's announcement came
Yeah, that's
earlier
very
this week,
sad.
and just incredibly sad, but like so like,
Heartfelt message, too.
yes, like he's just laying it all out there, and that just so heartfelt and everything, and all of the, and then I told Stacey, I go, you got to understand who I follow and, on Facebook and on Twitter and stuff. And like my entire feed now was that rest of the day. And even throughout the whole week is just filled with George Perez stuff. And just to see, I mean, how amazing is it that, he drew comics for a living, and how many people's lives
He
he
affected
touched.
just like that letter, yeah.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I've told you he's my all-time favorite artist. I'm just, it's just so emotional to see how many people's lives were affected by his work.
Yeah,
And
I was
people sharing
fortunate.
that.
I was
Go ahead.
fortunate enough to see him and Marv Wolfman together on his final tour before he retired because of his eyes.
Yeah.
But
He came to Niagara Falls the year before COVID, and so he had one panel, and I feel honored that I was actually able to attend that panel.
yeah, the panel I was at, I was in tears almost. I was in tears during two panels, the Sergio and the Mark Evanier. Like I Sergio did an emotional like story in his panel, and
Well, he seems like another one
I
that's
looked at
like George.
Bill's real stoic, but I was like in tears. But anyway, during this one, he was sort of talking about how everything meant to him and how much he loved stuff, and he was saying goodbye to it, and now he's kind of saying goodbye to his life because
And
he made the
to all
choice.
those fans.
What
And
was that?
how lucky are we that we got to experience his work, we've got to actually meet him, and that he's allowing people to kind of share this very sad experience. You know what I mean? Like on Facebook, he's he's posting things. He just posted something, a picture of, you know, he visited, his brother came to visit him, and you know, it's like he's sharing some of this stuff, and it's just absolutely incredible. And what the thing is that strikes me is that by all accounts, anyone that you talk to is just such a wonderful person.
Yeah. He's thankful, like, for his life, and he's dying, so
yeah.
He's thankful for what he was given. And he's basically kind of says, you know, I don't know how long I have, but it's terminal cancer, and I made the choice not to do chemo because it's terminal, and it's not going, it might prolong my life a little bit, but not by a lot. And
yeah.
I'm sure he
and
looked
what
at the math
of
it.
Is that?
Yeah, quality of life is. So he's pretty much writing it out, you know, and just see, hoping for the best, which it's sad. But I think his choice is probably what I would do in a very similar situation. You know, if you're going to do, when you're given that situation, you're going to do the math. You know, you're going to do the statistics and say, do I have a shot or do I not, you know,
and
make a decision based on that.
But you know what the thing is that you could do that in two different ways. You could do that in terms of quote unquote giving up and just being, and just basically feeling your life is over now, which is not what he's doing.
Right.
He's choosing to let his life end naturally with beauty and grace. And sharing that with the world, it's incredible. He seems like an incredible person.
Yeah, I know he is. And one of my favorite experiences with George Perez was not necessarily the panel, but when I got to see Keith Knudsen, you know, one of my best friends, go up to him and ask for a Don Quixote sketch. And then George just, his face just got so big because he's like, I've been in Don Quixote plays. It's one of my favorite works. And like, him and Keith going back and forth about Don Quixote was just like incredible.
That's amazing.
And he drew a damn good head sketch of Don Quixote. So, yeah, I posted that on Facebook.
I saw that. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm getting choked up just thinking about this, but.
Yeah, it's he's a good man. Like and I never heard, like, there's a lot of talk about bad things, you know, some creators have done and stuff like that, but you never hear anything bad about George Perez.
No, you don't.
His peers and, you know, his fans, they just love him.
Yeah. But anyhow, I just, you know, had to mention that because you really, like, that letter just made me think, like, yeah, you know, you do this job and because you love it and stuff and you love comics, but you don't necessarily expect that you're going to be affecting people's lives like this.
Yeah.
And it's great that he's around right now so he can see what an effect he's had on people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. But,
all right, I've got one more.
All right.
I'm continuing my Captain America's ever so slowly. Not having a whole lot of extra time to read, but I read Captain America number 180, which is this picks up just after Captain America has given up the suit and shield. He's decided that what he thought America stood for when he became Captain America in the 40s, that just doesn't exist anymore. He kind of realized that when he came back in the 60s from being frozen, but it really took this whole experience with, in the real world, what was going on with Watergate. And then obviously it was reflected here in Captain America with the Secret Empire, where there was an un, seen high-ranking government official who was the leader of the secret empire that was captured. Even like issues later, like it was never revealed who it was. He Captain America himself didn't tell Falcon or Sharon or anyone else who this was, but there's a some sort of government official, and he kind of realized that maybe America isn't in the same place that he is, and he just couldn't represent the entire country by being, you know, Captain America. So over the past few issues, you saw a lot of the Falcon do different things, and you'd see Steve Rogers on the side, and suddenly he's before this issue, he was being tracked down by the Golden Archer of all people, who normally I think I've seen him in the Squadron Supreme, but it I don't know if that was intended to be this version, but turned out not to be Golden Archer at all. He was tracking down Cap and saying, you know, we're going to meet three times, and the third time I'm going to kill you. And so the first two times he gets away, of course, and the third time they finally confront each other, and they're fighting, and it's revealed that it's not the Golden Archer, it's Hawkeye, and Hawkeye was just trying to nudge Cap into picking up the shield again, and Cap's like, you know, Hawkeye, I appreciate it, but you know, this I'm not there, I can't do this. And so it's Hawkeye's idea to say, well, Cap, I understand that, but you know, this is kind of who you are, and what's to prevent you from continuing to be a superhero? Just be a different superhero. Just don't be Captain America. It's something that hadn't that Steve Rogers hadn't considered. So he actually he decides that's what he's gonna do. He's gonna become a new superhero. So he's in a very very good mood, and he's gonna start making plans for who, what kind of superhero he wants to be, and so on and so forth. So that's where this picks up. And this is written by Steve Englehart still, and artist Sal Buscema. So really, really good team there. So near the beginning of this, you see the Viper, who had been around for the past. He was involved in this whole secret empire plot from behind prison. His alter ego was an ad, an advertisement guy, and so he. That's where it was his idea to kind of frame Cap as a as kind of a not representative of the United States, and try to get the Moonstone as the new guy that, you know, would represent America. But anyhow, the feds are taking him to a different state penitentiary, and a bomb goes off on the isolated road. And managed to somebody throws a acid dart into the car, and it lands, and gas starts exploding. So they all have to vacate the car, the protected car, and then all of the feds get shot, and it's Madame Hydra that has released Viper. If you know anything about Madame Hydra, Mike, you know that she ends up becoming called Viper.
Yeah,
So,
that's is the first appearance, right?
yeah, so this is her first appearance as Viper. So, you know, she's like, well, you know, I didn't actually set you free for you to join me. Like, I've decided to take the name Viper, and you know, I don't want any confusion. So she goes ahead and shoots and kills the male Viper, and says, "Okay, we're starting our own the brand new Serpent Squad." So at the same time, what you're seeing back at the Virginia State Penitentiary is Princess Python, who came from Iron Man 50. I think was she in like the Circus of Crime at one point? I don't remember.
Yeah,
Yeah, that sounded right. But
she was, because I think I just read Deathlok, like the
uh-huh.
M-Tech Deathlok, the Joe Casey one,
Oh, yeah.
and that one's crazy because ringmasters running for president, and the clown that was in the Circus of Crime is like this killer ass assassin, and I think Princess Python he went on a date with, so it's like it was so interesting.
I thought I remembered her from Circus of Crime, but here she's at the state pen, and her and her python are attacking the guards, and she frees King Cobra and the eel, who the eel is actually the original Viper's brother. So then they get out, they escape, and now we cut back to Steve, and Steve is basically wrapping up any loose threads basically of when he was Captain America. So he's basically what he's doing at this point. He's staying at Sharon Carter's place, and he says he picks up the phone and he calls the New York City Police Commissioner, because a while back he actually joined the force undercover. And then after that assignment was over, he stayed on the force. But of course, now with everything happening, he'd been, LOA for months. So the
So
police commissioner,
he was a police officer? I don't remember that.
for a short
Cause,
period
cause,
of time.
cause right now where I'm reading, he's a commercial artist.
Artist,
Like,
right?
yeah.
That's awesome. He was a police officer for a little bit, and the commissioner actually really lets him off the hook very, very gently. He's like, yeah, he's like, hey, that's no problem. You did your job and much more. Like, I never expected you to stay around as long as you did. And he doesn't know he's Steve Rogers. He's just talking to him as Captain America. So they thank each other, and he's like, well, that's one last thing. And who comes home but Sharon? And Steve thinks he's got great news for Sharon, and he's like, you know what? He's like, that was, the Golden Archer was actually Hawkeye, and he showed me that, I'm still the best crime fighter around, no matter what costume I'm doing, I have. So I'm gonna, try something else. And she's like, oh, that's great. And it's like, what's wrong? I thought you'd be happy. She's like, oh, you thought I'd be pleased that you want to start dividing your time between me and your job again? Oh yes, Steve, I'm ecstatic. He's not happy at all. And he's like, I thought you liked me being here. I was like, well, I didn't have a choice. You were Captain America for 30 years when we met. It's like, not like there was any option. And like, I just accepted it. But then you quit, and then suddenly we had all this time together. I could invite you to dinner, and you'd show up. We could make plans a week in advance, and they'd actually come to fruition. And I've never been happier. And so Steve is kind of shocked, because he didn't think about that. And so he's like, I was actually going to ask you if we could go to your parents' place in Virginia while I worked out like the new costume and everything else. And she's like, well, if it means that much to you, yeah, go ahead, but I'm not coming with you. So he, he leaves, and of course he's full of thoughts now, trying to figure out what to do. Back in Georgetown, which is near Washington, D.C., you see Viper now in a new costume that's no mask, but reminiscent of Viper's costume, the male Viper. She's addressing the eel, King Cobra, and Princess Python, and saying, okay, this is going to be the new Serpent Squad, and I'm going to be in charge of this. Does anyone have any problem with that? And Eel says, I don't care who's in charge, like, as long as you got your act together, but why are you wearing my brother's costume, and where is he? And so she says, well, I'm sorry to tell you that, your brother died in a battle against the police, and there was nothing I could do. Of course, she's lying. She killed him herself, but she said, you know what? I've adopted his simple name as a memorial. So makes the eel think that, she's above board on this stuff. So of course, her and Princess Python put this whole plan together. So of course, Princess Python's on board. King Cobra kind of starts arguing that he should be in charge of the Serpent Squad, but But Viper basically, he tries to attack Viper. Viper flips King Cobra over, and then shoots him with a paralysis dart instead of a lethal dart because still wants him around. And so finally, you know, he agrees, yes, you can be in charge. Steve goes to the Carter's place and he starts drawing out what type of costume he'd like, and just realizing now for the first time in his life how hard it actually is to try to come up with a costume and a name since he's never had to do that before. So I'll hand it to him. And it's funny, he's like, well, I want a different one from my old one. No red, white, and blue. So he's picked some somber tones, a lot of black, some yellow, and he makes a little joke that he hopes a bat doesn't fly in his window or he'll be in big trouble. So trying to think of some names, the Adventurer, the Privateer, the Swashbucklers, and no, they're all sound like pirates. That's not going to work. So he's like, think about it some more. I got to go down to the shop and pick up my boots and gloves. So he goes, picks up that, and he's continuing to think of a good name. He's like, maybe not like Adventurer, more like a Wanderer, Man Without a Country. It's like the Gypsy. That doesn't sound right. He's like, Vagrant, Migrant, Hobo, Bomb. He's like, no, those aren't gonna work. In the meantime, he's like, oh, you know what I always wanted was a cape. I always wanted a cape. They look great. So I am gonna make a cape. He puts a cape together. He's like, this is it. A name just hit me. The Nomad. And
That's
it's
not the Jack Monroe, though. That's
no,
weird.
it's Cap. He
Because
was
later on, it's Jack Monroe, and he still
yeah,
has
but
a cape. I always find it weird because a street-level guy with a cape is just awkward. Like, it
Well, you'll
just, you can't fly.
just wait by the end of this issue. You'll see. Because yeah, so he's the first Nomad, and there's a full page picture of him in his new costume. Very dark tones. He's got yellow belt, boots, glove, dark cape on the outside, yellow on the inside, and a face mask, but also a V-neck. So he's got his little face, a full face mask thing on that covers his eyes and his neck, and then a bare chest all the way down to his belt in a V, and you know, very, very 70s for sure. But yeah, so that's going to be his Nomad costume. So now we hit part two of the issue where Steve was keeping in shape at a gym. The guy who owns it, name is Roscoe. He went go looking for Steve Rogers. He doesn't know that he's Captain America, and knows that he was staying at Sam Wilson's place, and he encounters Sam as the Falcon, and he's like, oh, I was looking for Steve Rogers. He's like, he's about the best gymnast I've ever seen. I wanted him to be my trainer. I was thinking of being the new Captain America. Like, I heard that Captain America quit, and I thought I'd be the new one. And Falcon's like, you're crazy. Like, you want Steve Rogers to train you to be the new Captain America. Like, you better go home. And so Roscoe gets mad and leaves. And prior to this, like, each issue since Cap quit, there was like a different person that wanted to try to be a Captain America. Like, first it was like this all-star baseball player, and then it all lasts from the one issue, like each issue. Like, it starts, you know, that they think, oh, I want this. This is going to be a great job. And then later in that same issue, they put on a new costume. They encounter a problem that needs to be addressed, and they get, you know, the crap kicked out of them. They're like, oh, I can't be Captain America. So as a baseball player the first time, it was like a Hell's Angel biker the second time, and didn't work out either way. Here now, this time Roscoe's thinking of doing it, but hasn't actually gotten to this point. So Steve Rogers as Nomad is doing his first patrol around Washington D.C., and he's kind of walking, running around, and all of a sudden he hears somebody screaming from the street at a theater. A woman saying, "Stop them! Stop them! Don't let them take my husband." So, he swings down, and wouldn't you know it, but it's King Cobra and the Eel grabbing this guy in a tuxedo, and Viper is, you know, telling them to get moving. So, Nomad comes and starts attacking, and he hits King Cobra right away. Him and the Eel start facing off, And you know, I mean, they're like, we don't know who you are, but you know, we're gonna wipe the floor with you. And Cap, of course, knows that he's already encountered them several times before. Definitely has the upper hand, both in ability, but also, you know, psychologically, because he actually knows these people. They don't know who he is. So they have this whole scene. They're actually showing at the theater a Captain America retrospective while Nomad is fighting, and it's almost like showing like the two different things happening at the same time on the screen as Cap and him as Nomad, you know, live there. And that was kind of interesting. But he knocks out Eel. He says, you know, Madam Hydra. He starts taking care of her, and she's like, I'm not Madam Hydra anymore, I'm Viper. And he kind of covers her with a huge curtain from the movie theater, and Princess Python sticks her python on him. He starts fighting with that. He manages to grab it, throws it back to Princess Python. In the meantime, King Cobra has regained his strength and starts comes up from behind Nomad, and Nomad flips him, and he's about to really and so now this time everyone at this point everyone's on the floor except for Steve. So he's pretty much got this all nailed. And he's going running after King Cobra, who's now laying on the floor, and he accidentally steps, Mike, on his own cape. And bam, falls right to the floor.
There you go.
Yep. And Viper's like, he's tripped on his cape. It's like, quickly, while he's dazed. So they grab the guy in the tuxedo and they run off. Immediately, Steve, you know, is woozy, but he gets up and he rips the cape off. He's like, all right, I made a mistake that time, but that's going to be the last one. Like, I'm coming after this group, and I'm gonna, you know, whoever they've kidnapped, I am going to, you know, set free. I swear it. So then we cut back to the warehouse that the Serpent Squad is staying at, and she finally lets on, Viper does, to the rest of the group who exactly they have captured. It is the actual president of Roxxon, the oil conglomerate, and they have need
Usually
of
up
his
to no
knowledge.
goods.
Yes,
No
yes,
good. Always
yeah.
up
And
to
so they want
trouble and
his knowledge and resources. So we'll see what comes of this. But she's like, and yes, I say we, because I speak for ourselves and our one other, a silent partner to our enterprise that only I knew about. And who comes walking in but a guy that I don't know at all, the warlord Krang. He's an Atlantean that wears like a bubble helmet that's full of water so he can breathe. And I'm not familiar with him at all, but I am familiar with what he's holding, and that is the seven-headed serpent crown of Lost Lemuria. So she says, with this and with Krang, they will rule the world. So yeah, this was a good one. I've always been a sucker for the Serpent Squad itself, especially like later on with those Serpent Squads when the King Cobra, I think, was the head of it.
Yeah, Serpent Society it becomes, right?
Serpent Society, yeah,
It
with
starts off as the squad
Grimald,
and then becomes
yeah,
this.
and the Diamondback ends up turning into a good guy and works with Cap. Yeah, I love all that stuff. So it's kind of cool to see the Serpent Squad right now. Their kind of origins and stuff. But yeah,
Well, where
so
I'm
I
reading,
was able to.
Nomad is a big part of the book. Him
Yeah.
and his cape and his stun discs. And mostly, the thing that's mostly notable is he was the second Bucky, right? So
Yeah, yeah.
he came back out of time too. I don't know how, but he seems really young. He's in his 20s and he's real unsure of himself. Like he's training under Cap, this Jack Monroe, and he's always like, I'll never be as good as Cap, and he's always moaning and groaning. And then I read an issue where Bernie comes in, you know, his girlfriend, and she says, "Why don't you get a job, man?" Like he's always in his apartment, and he gets a job at a grocery store as a sacker, and he's sacking groceries, and he's like getting real attracted to the cashier. Like he's like, "Oh, she's hot," and that's when a Madcap starts causing chaos outside.
Madcap. Oh my God, I
Yeah.
totally forgot about Madcap.
He starts
Yeah.
causing the chaos with his bubble gun, and everybody's going nuts. And he's like,
Yeah.
I should go to Nomad. I need to go change. And his boss says, no, you need to stay in here and be with your workers and stuff. And he goes out and becomes Nomad, and Madcap kicks his butt pretty much. And then he comes back to work and then gets fired. But the cashier is injured during that whole fiasco because Madcap blows out the glass in the grocery store windows. And she's at the hospital, and he's like, well, even though I'm fired, I'm going to go visit the cashier. And he goes to visit the cashier, and he's like, I think I'm in love. And her boyfriend's there. Yeah, he just doesn't have too much luck, that kid.
No, not at all. Yeah, that's good stuff. I love all those.
Yeah.
And actually, I read earlier on in this, in the Captain America run that, they talked about the 50s Bucky and Cap. So he
Yeah.
was, yeah, he was the 50s Bucky who they were basically, I mean, they were like huge racists at earlier on here, like just, I mean, they were horrible.
Yeah.
But they had it. It was due to the injections that they were given that, they weren't the right. It was the super soldier serum, but without those rays that basically that Cap, needed as well in order to
Yeah.
affect it. So they're only given half of the formula, and it really made them not very psychologically stable. And I think that it's later on that he finally gets rehabilitated.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying Cap right now. I just been reading the heck out of it, so
That's awesome.
it's cool that this is a key book, though.
Yes,
The first
finally. I mean,
Nomad, the
something that I've
first
always known that
Viper,
he was this, but I never read it before. This is the first time.
Yeah, I have this one. I don't think I've read it. It doesn't sound familiar. But I love the Engelhart, so I should probably jump on it at some point.
Yeah, he did a great job when he came on. He really revitalized the series because it was kind of stuck in, as much as I enjoy reading it, it's kind of stuck in the kind of formula that it was in. Like initially, Stan was writing it, and he was basically just practically an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's just doing all these missions with under S.H.I.E.L.D. And it was nice to kind of separate him a little bit and get him like his own cast of characters and stuff. And that didn't happen until, probably issues 150, 160. So, it's quite a few years.
Yeah. Well, my last book is Justice League of America 165, and this is the second part to an arc. Back to this is right before, I think it's right before George Perez does some Justice League, because Dick Dillon died, and George Perez had always said, I want to do Justice League so bad. If you ever need to do fill-ins or anything, or Dick Dillon leaves the book, then I'd love to draw Justice League. And he got his wish, but I don't think he got it based on what happened. But this is Jerry Conway, Dick Dillon, with Fred McLaughlin on inks, and this is a Zatanna story, and it's got Zatara in it as well. But they go to this magic land where the Homo Magi exists, and in the history, there's the Homo sapien, the Homo Magi. The Homo Magi is like this magical ability, Homo sapien, and they're not supposed to crossbreed, but they're really attracted to each other, and they make, I guess, interesting characters if they do mate. But this is a story of Zatanna's mom, and she's captured by the Homo Magi, and the Justice League try to go rescue her. from this, along with Zatara. And Superman's having a hell of a time for sure because of magic. He doesn't seem to be that effective at all. But the whole Justice League gets taken down by the Homo Magi pretty easily. And then it cuts to the satellite where Red Tornado is sort of there with Ollie. And Ollie's just healing from his injuries of the previous issues, and he just wakes up from a cold sweat and he's like, "Dinah, Dinah." And he says, "Well, we got to get to the computers. They need our help." And Red Tornado and Green Arrow head to wherever they're heading. And then it gives you the history of the Homo Magi, Homo sapien, and uses a lot of incorrect terms that are incorrect in today's world, especially in the Homo sapien world. But it gives you all the backstory of their relationships, and then they head down there. Zatanna was with her mother, even though they're all imprisoned, and she seems mindless at the time, but then is able to free herself. And then the Flash tries to break them out. He's unsuccessful. Red Tornado burrows under the shield that surrounds the where the Homo Magi are hiding, and him and Green Arrow go underground, and then start fighting the soldiers. Red Tornado's taken out, but Green Arrow's still around, and Zatara gets to see his lover one more time. She actually sacrifices her life to save the Justice League. So now, Zatanna and Zatara, well, is out with her. They don't no longer has her mother, and Zatara's without his wife, so she's dead, and that's kind of how it ends. But they did defeat the Homo Magi, and it's a pretty good issue.
I
It
love
had the
these
whole
Justice
crew.
Leagues.
It had Elongated Man, Hawkgirl, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Black Canary, Red Tornado, Green Lantern, Flash. So it had quite the lineup for sure.
Good old satellite era.
Yeah.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, I had a box of comics that I guess I hadn't read that I ordered from my comic shop, and these two issues were in there, and really enjoyed them.
That's awesome. Those are you really have been reading a lot of like prime era stories from when I was really getting into comics that like just hold special place in my heart for sure.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it for sure. So much so that I almost don't want to read anything current. It I did read that Tarzan and Gru, and I was like, where's Gru been all my life? Like, I don't know. I don't have many Gru comics, and I don't even have the Gru versus Conan. Yeah, I really want to seek that out, but I don't know why I never bought it. Mostly because I was like, that's Mad Magazine. It's not a comic book, you know. It's humor. But now I seem to get it. Like, now that humor means something to me. It really does. And there was so much wit at the convention that I just enjoyed looking at every panel, you know, just seeing what was happening at the con and who was dressed up as who, and
Oh my God, isn't
all
there
the
like
inside
that's what he's
jokes.
so like good at is just filling those with all those little Easter eggs.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
he was like at a back when I was young in California, they had a thing called Lion Country Safari, which is where you drive around in your car and you get to see the animals.
Yep, they
I
have
don't
one up in Canada, African
Yeah,
lions.
I saw you guys did that. But I don't think that Lion Country Safari exists anymore, but when I was a kid, that was kind of a big thing, and that's kind of like the park where Sergio was trying to do research on Tarzan so he could do a comic book.
That's awesome. Good stuff. I don't have anything else today because
Yeah, I
I
don't
thought that
either.
I thought Chris was going to have a couple things, so
Yeah.
I didn't want to over prepare. But
Right.
yeah. Well, hey, we went to almost 1 o'clock, which is where we normally do with three of us, so.
Yeah, so we covered it and didn't necessarily cover a lot of retro at the beginning, but that's what happens when Chris isn't around babysitting us.
That's right,
But
guiding the ship.
you can reach Rob at Rob Krieger on Twitter, me at Mike Myers Brunch, and Chris at MakingETC. And you can find us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. I don't know if we'll record another episode between now and the holidays,
Yeah, it's
but
going to be
want to
close. It's going
wish
to be tricky.
everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year if we don't. And I'll probably see you in the new year
Yeah.
because I'll be out of town. I don't know if we'll, but if I am in town, I'll try to hit you guys up to see if you're around, but we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, no problem. But I mean, I'm sure we'll talk on social media, but otherwise, definitely Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah, same here. Hope you guys have a good one and everybody stays healthy and has a good time with their
Yeah, for sure.
families. All right, well, have a good one, Rob, and
You
we'll
too.
talk again soon.
Thanks, Mike. Have a
Take
good
care.
weekend.
All right,
Bye.
bye.